Now, tonight is the first of three topical evenings during the autumn around the theme of following Jesus, being disciples. And our particular topic tonight is friendship. And I wonder if when you hear that, you think, well, Simon, that's not very sort of spiritual. That sounds really rather ordinary. Why is friendship a key component of following Jesus? So the first thing I want to say tonight is that friendship matters. After all, the God of the Bible is relational. There have always been loving friendships within God himself. We were thinking about this a bit this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's made us in his image. So we too are built for relationships, for friendships. Genesis 2 gives a picture of how God designed life to be, with Adam and Eve enjoying relationships with God, with one another, with the world around us. A picture of wonderful relationships, perfect harmony, until everything was spoiled by their turning against God. And, of course, from then on, the whole story of the Bible is God's plan to restore people to friendship with himself. And that was so costly. It cost the life of the Lord Jesus. And that just shows us, doesn't it, how friendship with God really matters. And God's plan is not only to restore that vertical relationship, but also to create loving friendships on the horizontal between members of the new family that he's creating. Jesus didn't just come to rescue a collection of individuals. He died to create a new community, to gather a people to himself, belonging to one another. So deep friendships should be growing as we grow together in the likeness of Jesus and serve together in his mission. Well, I hope that's enough to show that friendship really matters. For the Christian, it's not an optional extra. It's an essential part of being a human being. So it's no surprise that loneliness has such an impact upon mental health. And it's an essential part of being a disciple of Jesus, because we are brought into his family. We have a family responsibility towards one another. In fact, we are meant to need one another. We're not supposed to try and live the Christian life on our own. God has designed us to be dependent on one another. So it's no surprise to find Hebrews saying, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." Now, I'm not sure we're very good at that, even amongst those we know quite well or see quite often. We're not very good at talking about spiritual matters of faith. I know it's a generalisation, but you ladies are generally more relational than us men. Better at sharing your lives with one another. I think both sexes need to be encouraged to go beyond the merely superficial, but it's probably more of a challenge for us men. So if anything is to change, we need to be convinced that friendship really does matter, that it really is important. is not helped by the expectation that men are to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. Real men don't cry. Well, thankfully, that's signs of that changing a bit. But it is a false, unhelpful picture of what it means to be a real man. Us men need to learn to be a bit more open, a bit more vulnerable with each other. Otherwise, we'll have acquaintances, but we won't have friends. Just to say, for those of us who are married, our marriage partner will be our closest friend. We need to make sure that that is the case. That's why the Bible says that a Christian should only marry a Christian. But we need other friends too. To rely on just one person for encouragement and support places a huge burden on them. And it's actually rather selfish towards other people. A healthy Christian marriage is not just inwardly focused. It's fueled by looking up to Christ, and it's blessed by looking out to others, both to give and to receive. Even the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane acknowledged his need of friends to stand with him in that time of trial, and lamented the fact that they didn't. So yes, all of us need friends. Friendship matters. Now here's a question for you to think about around your tables for a few moments. What does good friendship look like? What does it mean to be a good friend? Over to you for a few minutes. The Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about friendship. Proverbs is about living wisely, and friendship is an important part of that. So I guess it's no surprise. You might like to sometime go through Proverbs and pick out all the ones about friends. But we're going to read these verses, page 653, chapter 18, 24 to 19, verse 8. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. Many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? Though he pursues them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers. So there's one of them. Chapter 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So good friendship is close. There is an openness and intimacy about a good friendship. Now, we need to say that in our hyper-sexualized society, sadly, people jump to conclusions about same-sex friendships, especially amongst those who are young and single. And whilst we shouldn't be naive, I don't think we should be intimidated by that pressure either. We'll try to avoid causing speculation, but we won't avoid close friendships. The Lord Jesus chose 12 disciples to whom he related more deeply. And it seems that he was especially close to 3 of those. Yes, we'll be careful about the danger of little sort of cliques, which means that others get hurt. So coffee time over church probably won't be the right time for those intense conversations in a little huddle. We need to find other times for those deeper friendships. Let's remember that in our church family, there will be those who are single who don't want to be. But a church family where deep friendships are happening will be a great help to that person in living a godly life, in a single godly life. They won't have to feel isolated and lonely. And whilst it's good to have a range of friendships, including those, of course, who are not Christians, our closest friendships will be with those who are going to help us follow Christ, not to draw us away from him. So we need to be careful about the friendships we choose, especially those closer ones. And if that sort of friendship is going to grow, then it needs a certain amount of time and effort. Instead of lamenting that in our church people only relate in a superficial way, let's take the initiative. Let's open our homes and our hearts to one another and see what happens. Second thing, good friendship is loyal. Two more proverbs, which are sort of saying that superficial friends fade away when they're needed. Chapter 19, verse 4 there. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. Verse 7. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? Real friends, by contrast, stick with us through thick and thin. Chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. So it's good for us to be asking, isn't it? What kind of friend am I? There's a danger, isn't there, that we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we have no time or energy for others, even in a time of crisis. Perhaps we say to ourselves, well, yes, but I would be there for them. But are we the sort of person that they will turn to? Have we kept our friendships in good shape in better times so that we're ready for when the time of crisis comes? Friendships not only need to be made, they also need to be maintained. Now that won't always be possible. People move away and so on. But do we show loyalty to our friends? Here's a couple of suggestions for maintaining good friendships. Be interested in the other person. Be prepared to listen and to take a real interest in their lives. That might mean asking thoughtful and careful questions about how they're thinking or feeling. It might mean listening to them rather than desperate to speak about ourselves. Maybe meeting up regularly to pray would be a great way of strengthening a friendship. Be committed to the friendship, not least by making time for that person. And that might work best as a regular fixture, once a week or once a month or whatever it might be. And often it's over time, isn't it? It's those countless small actions that friendships develop and grow, kept in good shape. for the times of trouble when they come. Let me just say a word or two about when things go wrong. Any relationship between two sinful people is bound to experience tension at times. So if we realise that we're at fault, well, we should be quick to apologise and do all we can to put things right. And if we feel that we've been wronged, then we need to make sure that we react with grace and wisdom, not emotion. If an apology is offered, it needs to be accepted, doesn't it? Gladly, willingly, without bearing a grudge. Some offences will be too trivial to dwell upon. Perhaps we need to examine ourselves and see why we reacted as strongly as we did about that relatively minor thing. Sometimes it will be something more serious, when it might be helpful to involve a more mature Christian brother or sister, as Jesus suggests in Matthew chapter 18. If restoration is going to happen, yes, it will need the participation of both parties, won't it? That might not always happen. But let's be ready with gracious love and forgiveness. And if we're struggling with that, well, let's remember how greatly we have been forgiven. So good friendship is close, it's loyal, and it's honest. Now, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we are deeply flawed. Yes, we're forgiven, but all of us are still struggling with sin, still battling with those same old sins and tricky situations. And we shouldn't pretend otherwise. We're not saved by performance, we know that. And so we can be honest about our struggles. Remember that, and we'll be more honest and open with one another. We'll perhaps invite a close friend to ask those awkward questions. That will only usually happen when we invite them to do so. When we give them permission, we tell them what questions we don't want them to ask. And if we recognise that, then we'll understand the value of living honestly. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Words from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I wonder if we have somebody who will challenge us, who will say the things that need to be said. Now, if they've tried in the past, and we've been oversensitive, over defensive, well, they'll soon learn not to do it again. And sadly, then, that intimacy is now restricted. So it's important, isn't it, that we learn to respond to criticism well. Especially from those who care for us and love us. If we're going to grow to Christian maturity. Sometimes what we need is honest words, which flow from a loving concern. Not so much for my happiness, but for my holiness. It might not be what I want to hear. But if it is motivated by wanting me to be the best I can for Jesus, then such wisdom is worth its weight in gold. Remember Colossians? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. It's very rare that a person requires experts in psychology or pastoral counselling. More often than not, I just need a friend to point out to me what I already know, but are finding hard to accept and live by. That will mean frequent reminders of the amazing grace of God in the gospel. It reminds me that I am a loved child of God, completely accepted by him, able to call him my Father. I've received the Spirit. I'm a new person with a new power within. So I don't have to be trapped by those destructive patterns of thought and behaviour. It's as such friends walk together, speaking truth in love, speaking the gospel to one another, that we experience real and lasting change, that we grow up into Christ. Number four, and this is the last one, good friendship is careful. There's no place for gossip. If someone does the honour of opening up to me about something private and personal, then my lips must be sealed. Too often we can sort of break confidences by hinting at something. Oh, I can't say much, too much, but just between you and me, please do have Jane in your prayers. And immediately we think, well, you know, what's going on in Jane's life? If we do point out the speck in the brother's eye, we should do it with full awareness of the plank in our own eye. We should do it with great gentleness, because then our words are far more likely to have their desired effect. As friends, we need the sensitivity to discern the right thing to say in the right way, at the right time. Proverbs 27, if a man loudly blesses his neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. And if a friend is feeling low, then don't bombard them with cheerfulness. Another proverb, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. We need to learn, don't we, the effect that our words are likely to have, and adapt accordingly. That will mean an understanding of the differences amongst our friends. One might be so thick-skinned that we have to be really blunt. Another so sensitive that we tread very carefully. Good friendship is careful. Let me finish with this. As I said at the start, we human beings are relational creatures. Above all, we are made to relate to God. No human relationship, however good, can bring complete fulfillment. Only Jesus can satisfy the hunger of our hearts. If we expect another person, another Christian, to be our saviour, to meet our deepest need, to satisfy our deepest longing, then we are bound to be dissatisfied. To expect any relationship to bear such a weight will actually spoil it, or even break it altogether. Such a burden on a relationship is a slippery slope to emotional manipulation and control and dependency and so on. The opposite of the self-giving friendships that the Bible speaks about. That's not a reason to avoid friendships, but rather a spur to look beyond them, to Christ. It's only as our friendships are built on him and all that we receive from him that we have the secure foundation that then enables those friendships to flourish. The assurance and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus enables us to reach out to others. Not to take, but to give. To give sacrificially, as he has given to us. He is the perfect friend who enables us to be a good friend to others. So here's another question for you for a few minutes. How does the gospel of Christ help us to be better friends? Spend a moment or two.